In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have thoughts of thy loving kindness, O God, and in the midst of thy temple, thy right hand is full of righteousness. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and in the city of our God, and in the mountain of his holiness. Amen. Be with you. And let us pray. Grant to us, O Lord, we beseech thee, the spirit to think and do always such things that are right, that who cannot do anything but that is good without you, may by you be enabled to live according to your will. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Amen. Okay, had something sticky on my paper. Our confessional reading from Luther's Small Catechism. As the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. The close of the commandments. What does God say of all these commandments? He says thus, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What does this mean? God threatens to punish all that transgress these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not act contrary to them. But he promises grace and every blessing to all that keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and willingly do according to his commandments. So far. This morning's Old Testament is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious form of the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced, brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So far, the Old Testament lesson. This morning's epistle, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For they have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So far, the epistle lesson.
Alleluia.
And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs and thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? In thy name we have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So far, the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. My sermon is based on this morning's gospel reading. The theme is, Beware of False Prophets. And I would like to read a couple of verses from the beginning of this morning's gospel. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? So far. Please be seated. It may not be popular to label a doctrine false or a religious teacher false, but we must do so because Christ does so. You see, Jesus is not only our beautiful Savior, but he is also our infallible teacher and guide. In his word, he teaches and guides us. And it is he who oftentimes took the false prophets of his day to task and exposes them for what they really were. First of all, by false prophet, Jesus means a religious teacher whose teachings are not taken from and agree with his inspired word. Jesus himself says, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. St. Peter writes, if any man speaks, let him speak the oracles, that is, the sayings of God. St. Paul writes, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And once again, Jesus says, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, granted, there are difficult portions of Scripture to really understand, but not so with the Scriptures that I just read. They are very clear. If you want to know whether someone is a false prophet or not, you must examine their teachings according to Christ's word. You shall know them by their fruits, says Jesus. As you determine the quality of a tree by examining its fruits, so you determine the quality of a prophet by examining his teachings according to the Bible, God's infallible, eternal word. When a religious teacher adds to or subtracts from the word of God, or offers his own ideas instead of God's doctrines, we must label him a false prophet. St. Paul says, they teach things they ought not. You see, ministers have been given the word of God in the Bible. And our Lord commands them to go and take this message to a world that is dying in its sins, a world that is headed for hell. And sad to say, some of the messengers neglect to do so. Some substitute one of their own ideas. Some delete parts of it. Others say that, well, God really didn't write it in the first place. All such are to be labeled false prophets. Jesus did it, and so should we. Now, to be able to determine who are the false prophets and who are the true prophets, we will have to study our Bibles. Search the scriptures, says Jesus Christ. And he's talking to us. False prophets may appear to be harmless, but Jesus says they come to you in sheep's clothing. And they want you to believe what they are saying. They're sincere about what they're saying, too. And I'm sure that many of them believe what they do say. But does sincerity make the belief in the teachings of a person right? Yes or no? No. Will I reach heaven if someone in all sincerity points me in the wrong direction? Yes or no? No. False prophets make a good impression, and they would not confess that they teach contrary to the Word of God, and they probably believe what they teach. They may show great zeal for mission work, for church work, but Jesus says that on Judgment Day they will plead, "Lord, Lord, have we not preached in thy name, and have we not done many wonderful works in your name?" And yet Jesus warns concerning them, inwardly, they are ravening wolves. That's mighty strong language. Yet remember who it is that is saying that. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in human flesh. And what a pack of wolves do to a flock of sheep is what false prophets do to people in many cases, they actually lead people to hell by their denial of the truth of the Bible. And this is especially true of those who neglect or deny the cardinal doctrines of God's Word, namely, that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, that he endured God's punishment for sin with his suffering and his death. They do not proclaim God's promise, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Instead, they urge us to get right with God by our own works. And as a result, people live and die in sin and unbelief, and they are lost eternally in hell. That's a very serious problem. No wonder Jesus calls them ravening wolves. He explicitly warns, "Beware of false prophets." And moreover, one false doctrine leads to other false doctrines. And finally, Jesus wants us to keep in mind his warning that simply by believing a religious teacher will not bring a person into the kingdom of heaven. To claim that we belong to Jesus Christ is not enough. What does count is that we do the will of our Father in heaven. And what is the will of our Father in heaven? First of all, repent of our sins and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, as our redeeming Lord and Savior. And to those who did not do the will of God, Jesus will say to them on Judgment Day, "I never knew you. I never acknowledged you as one of my sheep and followers. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." So, my dear friends in Christ, may God's Holy Spirit teach us to do the will of our Father on earth and bring us into the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Take not thy And let us pray for our communicants, but first, I'm sure there are personal prayers that you would like to present to the throne of God. Let's do so at this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto our souls, we pray. Let us experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith and increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. Please rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabbath.
Blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus Christ, given to death, forgives your sins. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death, who forgives your sins. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death. Given to death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. shed the remission of your sins.
Now may his body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given to death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of your mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.